This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Social hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I feel like only felons and Eskimos and narwhals live in Alaska.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, Deese is solo as he talks about his recent trip across country. And now your host. He just lost all his money betting on the wrong team in the Puppy Bowl. Deese Casillas.
Malab Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am Deese. What is up, guys? Thank you for coming back, hanging out for another episode. Once again, excuse the sound quality if it's a little off. We're still working on getting the new studio set up, man. We're in the new house. We're in Texas, breathing up all that freedom. God, country, and freedom, and in and out, because fuck Whataburger. Yeah, I said it. That's right, Texas. I love your state. Your burger's mid. Mid as fuck. I mean, it's all right. Okay. I'm just going to get right in. Here's the deal. Everyone tells me all the time, because I grew up in California, to chill out on the in and out. That it's not that great of a burger. It's not the best thing you'll ever have. And you're right. It's not. That's the problem that when people talk about In-N-Out, they hype it up too much and they think that you're going to have the best meal you've ever had. And that's not necessarily what it is, what encapsulates, what makes In-N-Out so good. What makes In-N-Out so good is A, the simplicity. What do you want? You can't get a chicken sandwich. You can't even get bacon or guacamole. It's how many burgers do you want on that fucking bun? That's it. That's it. And it's simple, and it's quick, and it's good. Also, it's $7.99 for a burger, hand-cut, for a double, hand-cut fries and a drink. For that quality of burger, you'll never hit another price point that's that good of a burger. You can go to Whataburger. Whataburger is a fine burger. It's okay. But like also, again, you can get blue cheese. You can get bacon. You can get guacamole. You can get jalapenos. You can get hot sauce. You get all these things on your burger. You start putting that on anything. You can put that on Catholic dick. I'd eat it. I'd eat Catholic dick for free. I did. I was getting on an altar boy. I grew up with that shit. No, I'm kidding, man. Until the lawsuit is settled. Anyway, I have to say I'm kidding. For litigation purposes. But, you know, yeah, you can put anything on a... You put that much shit on a burger. It's fucking great, you know? The accoutrement... Then you're just eating bacon. You're just eating guacamole. Who doesn't like that shit? So Whataburger, you're all right. But man, get over yourself. If you put just a Whataburger, burger, lettuce, pickles, onions, ketchup, tomato against In-N-Out, eat them side by side, In-N-Out all day. Also the toasted bun. Whataburger's bun is kind of too much. It's thick, potatoy. But anyway, we're getting in the weeds. Texas, I love you. I'm home, guys. I'm in Texas. I made it. The new studio is still getting set up. It's been slow. Buying a house is a lot of work, it turns out. And getting a house to where you want to make it livable and moving all your shit in is a lot of work. But it's been coming along. I built a chicken coop because I guess I'm getting chickens now. That's fun. And so I'm going to start, growing some... I'm not growing eggs. The chickens are growing eggs, laying eggs. I'm just harvesting them. But I built a coop. Built a little garden, planting some flowers and herbs and stuff to be a little more self-sustaining out here. because the power is known to go out in Texas, so I want to have food and water. Got some rain barrels, living off the grid. I'm ready to start a cult, you know? My buddy said he always thought I could look like I could run a cult, and I said, hey, I always said I wanted to be on Netflix. I never said it was for comedy, okay? And we got a lot of specials, documentaries about serial killers and cult leaders. So here you go. I'm into it. Let's see what we can do. It was a harrowing journey getting to Texas, man. Well, I got here the first time, and then I was only here for 5 days, and I had to turn around and fly to Arizona, and I did shows in Phoenix, suburbs all around Arizona, New Mexico for about a week. Then I had to fly to Wash back to Spokane, and I had to pick up my car. You know, I did shows up there and, you know, all across the Northwest and from Montana to Seattle and back, just doing shows for a few days. And I'd drive back to Texas. And so I'm going to give you guys the rundown of how this went. It's a Saturday. I do the dope show at the Spokane Comedy Club at 4 o'clock, immediately drive to Missoula, Montana right after the show. Cause I can get there by it's an hour difference. You know, they're an hour ahead, but I'm out of the show at 6:30. You know, it's a 3 hour drive. I can get with the time change. I can get to Missoula about 10:30, stay the night there. And then the next morning, I planned to get up and drive all the way to Pocatello, Idaho. Then the next night, I was going to be in Moab, Utah. Then the next night, I had a show in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, it's just ice-capades the entire way to Montana that night. The next day, it's daytime, so I'm like, I'll be all right. I'll just take it slow. Still icy all the way through Montana. And I'm in middle of Montana. I'm in Dillon, Montana. I'm on the Interstate 15, which for those of you guys don't know, that goes all the way through Salt Lake City, goes all the way down to Vegas, and connects all the way down to San Diego. I'm taking that for a long ways until I break off south of Salt Lake City. I'm in Dillon, Montana. I start seeing these signs like interstate closed down. At Dillon, interstate closed down. And I'm like, interstate closed down? I'm like, it's daytime. You know, I'm like, it's sunny. The roads are icy, but I mean, everyone's driving fine, no problem. So I'm like, what am I? I'm like, this can't be right. So I'm thinking maybe it was from the night before because they had a storm come through, right? And I get to Dillon, and there's a complete traffic stop. And there's these sheriff's officers in the highway just telling people, like, you gotta turn around. Can't go. Yet in Idaho, they got 5 feet of snow on the ground. They got nowhere to put it, nowhere to take it anywhere. You gotta, you know, turn around, head back. And I'm like, head back to where? Like, we're in Dillon, Montana. For those of you guys who don't know, Dillon, Montana is about the size of a thimble. Like a very white racist thimble, but a thimble nonetheless. Like a thimble, if it was at a, you know, wearing a Trump hat at a NASCAR event. That would be Dillon, Montana. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, what am I going to, you know, there's no other towns around. So I'm thinking, well, I guess I try to get a hotel, you know, but I'm thinking also I got to get to Albuquerque next couple days. And they go, well, hopefully tomorrow at noon it's open. So I'm like, okay. Supposed to be in Pocatello, had a non-refundable hotel because, you know, I live with risk. And I go back towards Dillon, and literally every hotel booked solid, because every traveler heading south on the 15 had to stay, and Dillon is a town of 19 people, and 10 of those 19 people are horses. So, like, there's nowhere to stay. There's nowhere to stay in this place. And I'm like, well, shit. So, I mean, literally the last hotel in town, the lady goes, yeah. So there's a guy at the desk. He's like, I just got the last room. And I'm like, bro, I will fucking cuddle you so hard and give you $100 if you let me stay. You know, they literally said they had to. They were starting to call the sheriff to have them all put cots in the like the basketball courts at the local high school because there was no more beds for people. And guys, keep in mind, it's negative 25 degrees out. Negative 25 degrees. So cold. So I'm like panicking. I'm like, what am I gonna do? So I start looking. I end up finding on Airbnb one room. It's at this hunting cabin and it says Dillon, Montana. So like, Dillon's a small town. Great. I book it. Book this room. It's $50 for the night. It's a room. Okay. Then I Google it. It's an hour away. Dillon is not that big. This town is, again, 19 people. 10 of those people are horses. It's a small fucking town. I'm like, how far? This can't be right. So I'm like, I gotta go. It's getting cold. It's getting dark. More snow comes. So I start packing it. Like, I just start driving. I'm just like, here we go. I start driving. And since I can't go down the highway, I have to take this back road, like country back service road about this, you know, just snow pack service road, taking it slow. I've got no service on my phone. So I'm hoping that I don't hit like a berm or it suddenly, you know, the road is filled with snow somewhere. I get stuck. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere and it's negative 30 degrees out. Like, I would be real fucked real fast, you know? Like, what am I going to do if that happens? You know, I got no service. It's going to be so cold that I can't even, you know, I can't. It's like, what am I going to sleep in my car? But even then, it's like, what happens then? It's, I can only run my heat for so long that I run out of gas, and then I'm just freezing in this fucking car, you know? And I got my dog with me. So I'm like, what the shit am I going to do? So I drive this hour just white knuckling it. I'm coming up on the address. Like, you're 5 minutes away. Oh, great. 5 minutes away. And I'm on the middle. I'm on this road. There is nothing around. Nothing. So I'm like, okay. Then I'm like, you're 3 minutes away. Nothing on this road. I'm not barely nothing. Nothing. No houses. No homes. No lights. 1 minute away. There's still nothing. You have arrived. It's just fields and mountains. I'm in the middle of this mountain. I'm like, oh my fucking God. I'm like, I'm going to die out here. So I turn back around. I start heading back the other way. And I finally just find this highway and start driving one direction on it, hoping that I can hit anything. And I find this little hunting lodge. And that's it. That's the place I'm supposed to be at. So I'm fucking like, okay. I'm like, this is great. I get in this room. There's this creepy old guy that I'm just like, this place is a murder dungeon. Like, it's literally just heads of dead animals everywhere. Some creepy guy stoking a fire, you know. The room is this tiny, it's like the size of a closet, like where Harry Potter lived, you know. And there's a little bar and some lady and some random dude. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? This is not a bar you come drink. This isn't your local, you know, watering hole. This place is hours away from anywhere. No one lives out here. You guys are for sure murdering me tonight. I'm like, well, all right, here we go. So I'm like, the only problem is this place, it's at night, it hit negative 38 degrees below. And this was an old hunting cabin, and the only thing that was heating this entire place was one wood stove in the middle of the living room. I'm like bundled up. I brought all my clothes in from my car. I'm wearing like five pairs of clothes, have my dog bundled up with me. And this, I'm like, so I'm just like, try to get some sleep. You can get up in the morning, you can make up time, you can drive all the way to Moab. It's like a, you know, you have to drive probably 10 to 12 hours, but you can do it. I get up at 10 a.m. and they're like, highway's open, you can get on. Great, let's roll. I fucking hit that, I go out to start my car. Car won't start. This is a fucking murder situation. I'm like, did these guys take my spark plugs at night? And I got to live here now? Is that how these people end up being at the bar? You know, it's like some shining shit. Like, we've always been here. You've always been here. You've never left. You know, it's like the Overlook Hotel. And my car just won't start. And everyone, I have AAA come out. He's like, no one's car in town will start. It was so cold last night. Almost negative 40 degrees zapped everyone's car. Nothing. Oh boy. So I wait around, sit around. I put my car on this charger. I'm fucking like, what am I going to do to get out of this place? Finally, around 4 o'clock, I've tried to start my car so many times. Won't start, won't start, won't start. Finally, four, I try one more time. Fires up. I'm like, fuck yes. I throw all my shit in my car. I'm like, I'm going to get as much daylight in as I can. I drive from Dillon, Montana to Moab, Utah in one shot, 12 hours. I grabbed the biggest Red Bull you can find, just powered the fuck through. And then got up next morning, drove to Albuquerque, New Mexico, made my show. Boom, bang, champion. I don't fuck around. I make it to my shows, and it was good. Then I made it home. A couple more days, made it home, man. So now here I am in Texas. It was a harrowing experience. Picked up a dog on the way. On the first trip, I picked up a dog on the first trip. I got a new pup. He's this little, yeah, we're driving in the middle of New Mexico. And I see this, there's this dog on the side of the highway, right? And I'm like, what am I gonna, little dog's gonna get killed, you know? So stop and I pick him and I find him and he's just out in the middle of nowhere in this highway. And I thought he was blind when I first saw him because I walked up, he didn't even respond to me. Like, he didn't respond like I was there. He didn't look at me. He just walked in a little circle. He's going to be a big boy, man. I grabbed him, swooped him, took him home, nursed him to health. He's doing good. He's a little Great Dane. Sharpei, I think. He's going to be a big, big boy. But I'm pretty sure he's an alien. I think he's an alien in disguise. Because I was on my way to Roswell, New Mexico to check out the alien shit, you know? And I there he is on the side of the road. Here's the creep, and so like I named him Roswell, right? Here's the creepy thing. I start calling my alien baby, and I whistle. One day I was whistling the X-Files theme song to him, calling him an alien, and he freaked out. He started jumping on me. He's not an active dog. Very lazy, very nonchalant, very cool. He jumped all over me, freaking out, biting at me, like activated him. He's scared of tinfoil. E.T.'s his favorite movie. He's a little alien. Okay, not the E.T. part, that, but the tinfoil thing is real too. It's fucking wild. He's this little alien. I think that his ship crash landed. I think he was disorientated. I found he was disoriented, but he used his like shape-shifting device to shape-shift into something that he knew humans would love and take care of. Just a dog, and then it broke. Now he can't turn back. So I think that's a sitcom I'm gonna write about that. About this dog and his whole little, but no, I really think he's like a, I don't know, man. He's just this weird little guy. Little alien. I think one day he's gonna, you know, just beam us down, beam us up or something. But I mean, who knows? Maybe all those, maybe he's the one that's controlling all those UFOs that are running over Montana and the Northwest and all. We shot that way. We shoot down like 7 UFOs in the last week, something. They say they're not China's. I don't think they're China's. I get some crazy shit. I think Elon Musk is doing some crazy shit. He says Starlink. Fucking, who knows? That guy's on some other shit. And I know everyone hates Elon Musk, but that's great. No one can ever quantify to me why they hate Elon Musk. I'm not like an Elon Musk bro, but everyone talks about how much they hate him, and no one can say why. Like, oh, he's rich. Like, all right, that's, I don't know if that's a reason to hate someone. Like, well, his dad owned a mine, a diamond mine in Africa. Like, all right, well, I don't know if that's a reason to hate someone either, because you're just born into money. That's not his fault. you know, him personally, I'm not sure what he's done that's been so terrible. He's put his own money and time and resources into better internet service, better transportation, electric cars, and freedom of speech. I feel like he's doing the things we want to be doing. The thing is, he's doing all the stuff that your typical liberal would be for. If you didn't say the words Elon Musk, you just said these things. You said he's reducing carbon footprint. He's helping to eliminate gas-powered vehicles. He's creating more accessible, cheaper internet for people across the world, especially in impoverished areas. He's trying to create a better, more efficient public transit system in places like California, figuring out how to terraform Mars. And also, he's helping to protect freedom of speech. You'd have a bunch of liberals be like, I love this guy. Then you go, oh, you see Elon Musk. Like, I fucking hate that guy. He's a piece of shit. You know? I think all you liberals are just racist. You just hate Africans. He's just an African trying to make it in this country. Trying to better himself and find some, you know? I think he's doing all right. I think he's doing all right. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a quick update, guys. I wanted to give you a little State of the Union, what we're doing. I'm trying to settle into Texas, like I said. And once I settle into Texas, the goal is to start bringing the show back to, again, weekly. Not only weekly, but also ideally getting some guests back in the studio. I want to get some guests here once I have the studio set up. Once I start meeting some people and getting some connections, I hope to bring in a news anchor, a producer, and have the show back to where it used to be. You know, obviously it's been just catch as catch can clusterfuck for a while, kind of since COVID. But I want to get back to where it used to be. And I'm reducing my time on the road this next year. And trying to spend more time at home, which will mean dedicating more time to this, bringing you a better quality show every week with guests and entertaining people. And I don't know, I've gone back in the last few months and spent time listening to old episodes. And goddamn, the show was good. It was funny. It was good. It was sharp. And I liked it. And I want to get back to that. I'll still do one-on-ones and stuff like that when I want to and can and with the right guests, but man, the variety show is kind of where I want to be. And I am working on a potential, I don't want to say sister show to The Social Hour, because it has nothing to do with The Social Hour. But if ever anyone who knows me knows that I am a huge comic book nerd. I love comic books. And I did a comic book review podcast for a short-lived period of time towards the end of COVID, the Dollar Bin podcast, which is great. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And the only reason, and it got a lot of views and attention, the only reason I stopped doing it was just that I only have so much time and bandwidth. And it wasn't, you know, really much of a moneymaker at all. But it was filling time during COVID creatively, and I had that ability. And then once I could get back on the road and do other things, I just kind of had to do the things that make money. You know, like The Social Minute went away, Dollar Bin Podcast went away. And that's unfortunate because those are two things I love to do so much. So, you know, there's options. There's options in this where I'd like to bring both those things back in a sense. The Social Minute may come back as kind of in a amended version of The Social Hour, you know, whereas we do The Social Hour regularly, but maybe some weeks when I don't have as much time, I do an episode of The Social Minute, and that's kind of in lieu of The Social Hour instead of in addition to, because I like that format and I want to get back to that too. But the other thing I want to do is I want to do some comic book related again. I've been wanting to for a long time. So I've been trying to think about what I wanted to do. And I love talking about, if anyone knows me too, they know that I love high art. And not pretend high art, not like Christopher Nolan bullshit. you know, everyone has to be just nod their heads and pretend like they understand, you know, how fucking Inception works, even though nobody has a fucking clue. Ask any dickbag that fucking loves that movie, Inception, what it's about and how it works, and no one knows. No one knows. They're all pieces, you know, that, Tenet, Interstellar, nobody fucking knows. They're going to act like it. They're going to look because it makes them sound smart. You know, to say you like Interstellar is just a way to be like, I'm smarter than you. But then ask those people to quantify what they like about it. They have no fucking idea. I will say this. I have softened on Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. I think Dark Knight Rises is still a little, or Dark Knight Begins. That's the first one. Is arguably the worst name ever for a Batman movie. You know, The Dark Knight or Batman Begins. Terrible name. Dark Knight, superb film. Dark Knight Rises, pretty good. They're good films. They're good films. Dark Knight is arguably an amazing film. We're getting in the weeds here. Anyone who knows me knows I like high art and I like really shitty things, like bad stuff. Stuff that's so bad it circumvents being good and comes back, like goes into bad territory and circles back into being good because it's so bad. You know, like movies like, you know, Troll 2 or Carnosaurs or Grimm. If you haven't seen these movies, look them up. Just really shitty bad movies. And I also like really shitty bad. That's, you know, one of the things I did on the Dollar Bin podcast when I was doing comic books. I liked reviewing things that were bad and kind of looking at them, how they could be entertaining. And I wanted to talk about maybe bad, like bad comic book runs or traditionally panned, you know, Image comics or, you know, from the 90s, how they were just gratuitous, ridiculous, over the top. And put a good spin on it, how, you know, pick out the good things about it, why they're entertaining. So I kind of landed on, I found this, there's a comic book series called Nightman, which was published by Malibu Comics in the mid to late 90s. And Malibu was eventually cannibalized and purchased by Marvel Comics and brought into as like a separate universe. And then they canceled everything and nothing's been done with it since like 1996, seven, something like that. But there was a short-lived show of Nightman on Sci-Fi Channel. It ran for 2 seasons. And I found it on the Roku channel because it's it's a show nobody wants to watch, Roku's got it. And I started watching it, and my God, if it is not a gem among gems. It's so bad, but so good. Like, let me give you the elevator pitch. There's a guy in San Francisco who is a jazz musician. He plays the saxophone, and by plays the saxophone, I mean he is always playing the saxophone. If he is not in his Nightman costume, he is actively holding and playing a saxophone. I don't know if he has lines, actually. I think he just responds to people in like D flats in C minors instead of actually words when he responds to people. And he is struck by lightning. That's it. Not radioactive lightning, not lightning while he's, you know, touching a magic wand. He doesn't know gamma radiation, nothing. He's just struck by lightning. And this awakens an ability for him, this musician, to, and this is the way it reads in the description of the show, to be in tune with other people's evil. I'll say that again, guys. He gets struck by lightning, and this allows him to, this makes him in tune. Get it? Pun? In tune? Musician? With other people's evil. And it's so bad. I mean, the effects are bad. The script is bad. It's, everything about it is, his costume is garbage. And it's, I'm addicted to this show. It's so bad. It's so bad, but it's so much fun. So I'm thinking I want to do a show where I review this show. Each episode will be an episode of the show. There's like two seasons. They each have about 20 episodes. That's right. It ran like 40 episodes, you know? Joey, the spinoff of Friends with Joey Tribbiani. That didn't last that long. You understand? Nightman lasted longer than Joey. So I think I'm going to do that. And then when that's all, if I make it through that, if I don't kill myself by then, what I think I want to do is start doing other shows of that nature, like the old Incredible Hulk show with Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, something like that. So that's probably coming soon. Once I settle in a little more and I can hopefully get the bandwidth, start writing some scripts and get that done. So that's that. Let's hope so. I thought of a good name for it, but now I forget it. That's okay. It'll come back. Just keep an eye out for that. So anyway, that's what's going on, guys. I just wanted to touch base, say thank you all for hanging out. There's more stuff coming up. Guests, fun, funny, and me on the road. So guys, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, I'll be at the Amp Room in San Antonio tonight with fellow Northwest comedians Corey Michaelis and Andrew Rivers. Next weekend, if you're in San Diego, this Saturday is the Social Hour Comedy Showcase at Quantum Brewing. And next weekend, I will be in Houston, Texas at Black Page Brewing on Thursday the 23rd and Lazy Oaks Beer Garden on the 24th. And on the 25th, the Social Hour Comedy Showcase returns to Brewheim in Anaheim, so check that out. There you go, guys. That's it. I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to say, hey, check in. Come back next week. We're going to have a guest. I don't know who yet. And we're going to get this thing back on track. So thanks, guys, for the Social Hour. I've been Deese. See you next week.